everybody. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned into Paradigm Shifters. And who are Paradigm Shifters? We know there's a grand shift going on the world and the universe and so on. Paradigm Shifters are people who are participating in that shift and making a big difference. It might be a small difference, but ultimately it's a big difference on the whole universe. So what we have here is a wonderful guest who's a gemstone healer from the lineage of White Time Healing. My guest is Kitty Marachi. Welcome to the show, Kitty.
Hi, Veronica. Thank you.
I'm really loving the idea of talking to you about, well, first of all, we need to talk a bit about White Time Healing and what that really is. Can you explain that to people at home?
Well, I'll give it a try. White Time is really a very broad subject, and there are many different areas that White Time applies to. White time itself is all time in one, the past, present, and future.
Oh, it's like being in the now.
Exactly. So white time healing itself has a couple of different modalities. One is a hands-on healing, where the white time energy moves through a person, kind of similar to what people experience with Reiki. And then the other aspect of it is the gemstone healing, where the white time energy that's accumulated in the stones are used in particular combinations to bring about healing in the etheric bodies, the emotional, mental, physical bodies.
I just went blank, you know, because one of the things that's happened is I was reading all of this material on the website, and I was kind of fascinated because this came from Shawnee Shaw, right, from E.T.?
She's also known as Shawnee West. Yes, she became an E.T. contactee when she was only 5 years old.
Hmm.
And she was trained by these interdimensional extraterrestrials in physics and mathematics, languages, healing, many, many different skills and knowledges. And part of her job has been to bring through this healing energy and to teach it to others. She has also been a contact person where they would give her lists of people that she was to take out on ships and introduce them to these ETs.
And did she do that?
Oh, yes, many times.
Hmm. You know, like I told you on the phone, I want her to do that for me.
Well, we're getting closer to the point where they're going to resume the contacts and the trips. They had to stop for a while because, well, a number of things happened. One was there was like a kind of a war, you might say, out in the cosmos between the light universe and the dark universe.
Hmm.
And that had to be settled. It was actually time for the light universe and the dark universe to make peace and to work together. And that has happened. So now they're what we would call dark ETs. There are good dark ETs, and they're working with the good light ETs.
Hmm.
And they're working together to bring about an end to what we would call evil, as a hurt and pain in the universe. And all of this is actually part of the process of the entire, of all creations going up in frequency that, we might call it God. It's a very big consciousness, and it is raising in its own frequency and taking everything with it.
And why is it raising?
Well, there is this a whole explanation of, that I can't really go into with you on the air, but it's basically that there are these events that have happened in a place called the Beyond, which have allowed all consciousness to be raised. And
excellent.
We're getting to the point where we're all going to be fully aware and conscious of where we came from and become aware of all other life as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, really an amazing change that's happening.
And when did, I noticed that she was referring in some of the writing about what she's calling, Shawnee is calling in her writings, the New Earth. Seemed like many changes were made in 2003 and 2004, is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, the New Earth has been forming for a while. It's It exists in what we would call the fifth dimension and what the extraterrestrials call World 2. And it's 2.76 times bigger than our current Earth.
Hmm.
And basically, it's our Mother Earth outgrew this Earth. The spirit, the soul that inhabits this Earth, wanted a greater expression of herself. And so she's been creating this other Earth, and it has on it some of the species that have become extinct that she loved. There's another continent out in the Pacific Ocean. There's other changes, like there's a huge lake in Africa. And there are two moons.
Hmm.
Shawnee explained that we originally had two moons, and one was knocked out of orbit. So she said if there was a word that would describe the new Earth, it would be harmony.
Hmm. So, and what I gathered is that we're, many of us are wanting at some level to head to the new Earth, to live there?
Well, we're all going, actually. You know, if you look at where humans are in their consciousness, it seems like a monumental task to make that shift. But she explains that people are actually going through a very fast evolution now, and through little time loops where their consciousness moves into another dimension. And between the time it takes them to take one step and the next, their consciousness could have spent a week or two having this whole experience where they learn about themselves here and learn to change their attitude so that they're more loving. But basically, karma is getting completed now and everybody's going. It's not like how some envision the rapture where the privileged are going and then the rest have to suffer. It's not going to be that way at all.
It's just not the heads of state that are going, huh?
No, and it's not just the Christians. In fact, some people are going to have kind of a shock.
Well, I thought actually that some would be choosing to stay with the old Earth.
Well, she explains that the old Earth is actually going to disintegrate. And a lot of the Earth changes that people have been seeing through their inner vision, that those are happening to the Earth after all the life has left it.
Hmm.
That it's going to kind of start falling apart.
Do you have any idea when all of this, the biggest part of the shift is going to happen?
Oh, the million-dollar question.
Hey, Kitty, when? Hey, Kitty?
Yeah, well, it was supposed to have actually happened a while ago, but there are things that occurred that have delayed it. And
so what would delay it? Would it be our egregiousness or our nasty controlling devices in our minds or what?
Well, Shawnee doesn't want to point the finger, so I'm kind of hesitant to do that as well. But I remember when we had the millennium shift, there was such a feeling of joy globally. Did you see those celebrations on television?
Yes, little bits of it, yes.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing. There was like this party all over the world. And then things started to shift with the whole thing with 9/11 and the U.S. starting the wars.
Right.
And I think that began to really lower the hope that people had in the world. And as people's expectations and desires, as they began to give up on them, the whole frequency of the Earth started dropping. So one of the projects that Shawnee has going now is this meditation called The Kit, to try to get people to lift the vibrations of the Earth back up where it was, at least to where it was around 2000, and get it even higher so that we can make that shift.
It's interesting because we've been reading about 2012, and in that preparation, the frequencies have been moving up in an absolutely astounding rate.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Does Shawnee refer to that as well?
Not very directly.
Okay.
I kind of keep my eye on that since we're in the sixth day of the Mayan, of the long count calendar, which is the equivalent to the Renaissance period.
Ah, great.
Only, the sixth day during the Renaissance period lasted, I think it was 200 years each day and night, whereas now we're in such a sped-up point that each day and night takes 360 days.
Wow.
So started last November, and this is the time, according to the Mayan calendar, where there'll be fantastic change. So I'm really looking forward to this year.
And if it's Renaissance time, it's very creative change. It's for the good, most of it, or some of it.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really great how the Internet is helping all of that.
How many days, this is an ignorant question, but how many days are there of this part of the Mayan prediction?
360 days of our calendar days to the Mayan calendar day.
But right now we're on day six, right?
Yes, of the ninth level. Of the eighth level. There are nine levels altogether.
Okay.
And then the very last level, each day and night lasts, I think it's 20 days or something. It's
because of the escalation of
yes.
That. But that's also frequency, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the levels of this long count calendar end at the same point.
Hmm.
So, Ian Kalman in Sweden feels that it's not 2012. He feels that it's 2011 that the calendar ends. I believe October something, 2011.
So what do we do then?
Well, it's the end of time as we know it. Now, on the new Earth, if it's 2.76 times bigger, it means the days are going to take more than twice as long, and so will the night. So the time will be totally different.
Will we be there by then?
Oh, I think so. And maybe that's when we actually make the shift.
Hmm.
We don't know for sure.
We can't really know, can we?
No, because so much of it depends on humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And we really do play a huge role in whether this Earth is able to make that shift.
Another thing you talked about, so we're talking about the days, the end days of the Mayan calendar predictions. But also, you spoke of World 1 and World 2. Can
mm-hmm.
you talk a little bit about those? The World 1 is here on this planet, right?
Yes. Shani teaches this in the White Time classes about the different levels of creation. There are many different colors of creation, and we're living in the blue one. And each creation has many worlds. So World 1 is this physical world that we live in. And World 2 is what we would call the fifth dimension. And that's where the interdimensional extraterrestrials live. It's also where the masters dwell, who we would call spiritual masters.
And that's what you said. That's why sometimes people mix the two of them up.
mm-hmm. And when they come here, they appear as balls of light,
mm-hmm.
their ships do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll see it as a kind of a cloud-like formation. They can also become fully, well, we would think they were fully physical, but they're not fully physical. But for our experience, they're physical. And then they can also dematerialize what appears to us as they're dematerializing. But in their world, they're 100% physical. It's just a different type of physicalness than what we're familiar with.
Well, we could say it's a higher frequency, can't we?
Yes, and each frequency is physical unto itself.
Mm-hmm. Now it's interesting, as I read through this, I was going, oh, wow, so the whole system of White Time healing and gemstone healing is all attuned to this incredible universal frequency shift that's going on that would help us,
mm-hmm.
Acclimate or...
Well, yes, we need to shift our frequency so it's not so difficult. When a person has to change their frequency really rapidly
mm-hmm.
and they're resistant to it,
mm-hmm.
it can cause illness and a lot of discomfort. And so what the gemstone layouts do, what they're really good for is helping our physical bodies make that shift. Since the stones have a very high frequency, and the layouts are designed for them to accomplish particular movement in our bodies or in our minds or our psyche.
You mean the layouts are really attuned to what? Attitudinal problems and where that would be in your body, that sort of thing?
Oh, they're attuned to so many different things. Each layout has its own purpose and function. It could be for a person to heal their heartbreak. It could be for healing cancer. It could be for healing sadness or grief, or to open one up to new friendships. And then they're also used as keys for accessing different dimensions and different dimensional beings.
Hmm.
So in the fourth level of the gemstone classes, each of the layouts is for contacting an aspect of our own inner self or for a particular being. So if there's one type of being called a shimmering light being.
Mm-hmm.
And with that particular layout, Shawnee said that everyone in her class fell asleep when they did the layout. And she said, I'm really curious to hear what happens when you teach it if everyone falls asleep. Well, when we did it, no one fell asleep, and one person was just sobbing her eyes out. And she said that her family, her shimmering light family, was standing around her on the mat as the layout was being done on her.
Hmm.
So these layouts can be like keys to access these different beings. There is one for, they call it a male extraterrestrial, and his specialty is sacred geometry. And my house is based upon hexagons and sacred geometry and proportions and so on. And as soon as the last stone was laid on me, this voice started talking to me, and he says, well, it's about time. I've been trying to contact you.
Oh, wow. And when you had the layout, you had it specifically for sacred geometric wisdom?
That particular layout was for contacting the male extraterrestrial whose specialty is sacred geometry.
Mm.
And so he'd been trying to contact me to talk to me about my house and sacred geometry in particular.
That is absolutely fascinating. So did he give you a lot of information? Was he wonderful?
Oh, he was so loving. And he basically really wanted to express his appreciation for what I'd created with my house.
Oh, wow. Tell us about your house then.
Well, it's all multiples of three, and based upon the hexagon. When I first started designing a house, I based upon the golden rectangle, and I got a building permit, and I was, you know, all set and ready to build. And I was meditating one day, and Saint Germain said, "You know, that's a lovely house, but it's not the one we want you to build."
Uh-oh.
What a test, you know. I said, okay, what do you want?
And you hadn't started yet. Huh?
No, we hadn't started. We hadn't broken ground yet. And I did have a building permit, you know, which was kind of a big deal. But in this county, there could at that time be a 3-year waiting list.
Oh, my.
So I left off all of this solar part of my house because I had a feeling something might have to change. And with our county, if you declare it as a solar house, you couldn't make any changes.
Hmm.
But if it wasn't, you could completely start over. So basically he said, I want you to build it based upon the hexagon. And I said, well, why? So, well, the hexagon contains a 6-pointed star, which contains the Christ vibration, because it's the integration of the two triangles,
hmm.
the God reaching to man and man reaching to God.
Hmm.
And so the hexagon contains the frequency of the Christ consciousness. So,
interesting that that's the Jewish star, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually a very ancient symbol. It's not just in Judaism.
Yeah, it's just lovely. It's a lovely, interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
Before you met the E.T. who knew about sacred geometry?
Oh, years before. This was like 25 years ago, 30 years. A long time ago.
So you listened and you did the hexagonal
Yes, we did, and it's a pretty fun house.
Is it beautiful? Of course it is.
Yeah, it's people get lost in it, but it's a lot of fun.
So is the floor plan like a six-pointed star? Is that it?
No, we have a large living room, which we use for workshops, and that's a hexagon. And, you know, he said he wanted multiples of three. Well, it turns out that if you have a hexagon that's 30 feet from corner to corner, it's from wall to wall, it's 27 feet, and each wall is 15 feet. So it worked out perfectly.
Wow. And what about the rest of the house?
Oh, there are different rhomboid shapes.
and
there's not a square room in the house.
So it's all designed for harmony, right?
Yes, it is.
Back to the new earth and so on. So have you experienced like that feeling and the ambiance in the house?
The feeling of the new
harmony, and has it enhanced your relationships? And
oh, yeah. It's, well, we've been teaching meditation and channeling classes, as well as the white time classes here for many years. So, and there have been some wonderful workshops in our house. So it's picked up quite a vibration. I can't attribute it all to the geometry, but
you could attribute a lot of it to the intention of what you're doing.
Exactly.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. And we dedicated the house to the use of spirit. So when Shani came here the first time, she said she'd never seen such a busy house in another dimension. She said, your house is in other dimensions, and she said it's like Grand Central Station in the living room. And I said, well, what are they all doing here? And she said, I don't know. They're just too many to keep track of. And the second time she came, which is in 2004, the first time was in 1999, and then in 2004 she came, and she said, well, it's settled down a lot. The angels have kind of staked claim to the living room, and the extraterrestrials are using the sunroom.
That's great. Go ahead.
It might have something to do with I put a what we call a heavenly gate. It's a portal that invites angels to come through, and we put it near the living room.
How do you put a portal that guides angels to you?
Well, it's a stone layout that Shani includes in the level 2 white time gemstone class, and you lay these stones out for an hour to a week, or 3 hours to a week, and you do a little meditation with it, and it sets up this portal that's about 9 meters in diameter, or in a radius of 9 meters.
Hmm. And what did you experience after you did that? Did you experience the, you know, the fluttering of angel wings, you know?
Well, I don't see as much as I feel.
Mm-hmm.
There was like this wonderful peace that came in. People would come over to our house to go meditate in the garden, and they didn't know why. They would just, I really like to meditate here in this one spot. So guess why?
Well, Kitty, I'm going to go back to the fellow who came in to teach you about psychogeometrics.
Uh-huh.
Have you experienced a number of ETs with such a portal? I mean, because that is a kind of a portal too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the layouts are, I guess you would call them a portal for your body and your mind. Into these other dimensions. When you learn to teach this material, or
yes,
even when you learn the material itself, you get assigned a bunch of guides who specialize in that area. And, you know, I found it easier to hear the gemstone guides than the masters that I've been working with for many years. They're so close to the physical. And
like elementals, or?
Not that close, but I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm using the stones and they're able to access me through the stones.
I don't know,
it's just really quite easy to get their guidance. And they're a lot of fun.
Are they?
Yeah.
And so you said you've been studying masters for many years. Are they more like the ascended masters and so on?
Yes, I'm actually a minister with the teaching of intuitional metaphysics, which used to be the teaching of the inner Christ.
Oh, okay.
And so my husband and I have been helping people make their contact with their inner selves for many years.
Oh, my.
And we work with Babaji, Jesus, St. Germain, and an aspect of the Holy Spirit called Aiea.
Wonderful. Well, that's wonderful. So then you took on the White Time Healing Training, and then you took on the GEM healing. So
exactly,
it's different tracks, isn't it?
Yes. I got involved with the teaching of the Inner Christ in 1978, and then was guided to get involved with Shawnee. Well, actually, it was Randy Masters called me, and our mutual friend.
Yes, he was on 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and he said that this wonderful woman, this extraterrestrial contactee, was coming to the area, and he wanted to know if I would help him organize the classes and hold the classes here and schedule all her private appointments. And when I first met her, well, when he first told me about it, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, an ET contactee?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, sure.
I bet she arrived, you know, it's like, wow, this is really an interesting person. She's quite unique. And she laid down. She'd just finished traveling, you know, from Sweden. She wasn't feeling all that great, such a long trip. And she laid down on a cushion on the floor, and she was getting a neck massage. And suddenly her whole body went limp. And for all, she looked totally unconscious. And the woman who was traveling with her whispered to me, and she said, she's gone out, and she pointed up to the ceiling, you know. And she said, watch, there's going to be a little replacer coming into her body. I'm like, what? She says, yeah, when she leaves her body so completely, they have a replacer come in to take care of her body. So about
a placeholder, so that they don't think she died, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She doesn't turn cold. And suddenly this little voice, it sounded like a little elf, goes, what did she do to the hair? And she starts feeling their hair. Well, Shawnee had dyed it sort of a strawberry blonde, and it was a new color, and the replacer didn't know this.
Oh, that's funny.
And she started complaining that it was the wrong vibration. So Shawnee took care of what she had to do, and she popped back in her body in about 10 minutes.
Did she change the color of her hair, or at least the dye that changed it?
No. Well, the replacer is just going to have to put up with it.
So let's go back into the gemstone healing. I'm really intrigued by this, the layouts and the creating of a portal.
Mm-hmm.
And is it... let's talk a bit about the kind of stones you use and where do you get them and how do you know that they're powerful enough and all of that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I get most of my stones at the Tucson Gem Show, which just finished up.
Mm-hmm.
And there at the Tucson Gem Show, there are people coming from all over the world. So it's possible to buy them directly from some of the miners, which I really like because then I can tell what their attitude is.
Mm.
There are a lot of things that affect the individual frequency of the stone. When you have a rose quartz, they are not necessarily going to be the same vibration. If you have, let's say, a rose quartz from this country and a rose quartz from Madagascar, because there are different frequency bands on the earth,
mm-hmm.
and some frequency bands are a lot higher than others, and so it's best to have stones from that particular band. And the Madagascar band is one of the best.
Hmm.
It passes through Brazil, Madagascar. But the way we tell if a stone it has a high frequency,
mm-hmm.
or if you want to see if it's the right stone for you, you can hold it in your left hand, and then you place your left hand over your solar plexus underneath your heart.
Okay.
Right where your rib cage is.
Mm-hmm.
Cover it with your right hand. And
cover it with your right hand?
Yeah, so okay. you've got your fist over a fist, so to speak.
Okay.
Your hand wrapped around your fist. And you stand up and you close your eyes and you just state in your mind that you'd like to know if this stone is good for you or if it's good for, you know, a particular person. And if the answer is yes, you'll start to fall forward.
Hmm.
And if the answer is no, you'll start to fall back. And if it's neutral, you'll just stay still in the middle. So this is a good way to select stones if you don't feel them right away by picking them up. What I do with the layouts is I have to get stones that are going to work together.
And do you feel them very easily?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll lay them out on my hand going up my wrist. And as I add each stone that is prescribed within that layout, I'll check to see how the vibration feels. And if I start to get dizzy, I'll know that it's a little too strong. And I'll pick a different one of that particular type. I'll give you an example. I had a hard time finding pink topaz. In fact, the only one I had purchased in Sweden.
Mm.
And there's a layout where it has a pink topaz on the forehead. But there was a problem because every time I did that layout on people, it felt like the pink topaz was drilling a hole in their head.
Oh, wow. Too strong.
And they got really too much energy. We don't want to hurt people. So I'd have to
drill a hole in their third eye.
Yeah, I'd have to take the stone off.
Hmm.
Now, sometimes people go, oh, I want to get through it. I want give it to me. And they would let that stone do its wonders. But I have since found the softer pink topaz and have switched it out. But the point of that is that not all stones are going to work well in a layout. If a stone is really strong, it's not necessarily going to be the best one to work with other stones.
Hmm.
So just because stones are strong doesn't make them really good for healing.
I want to ask another question, which is backtracking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Were you talking about the Madagascar line or the rose quartz?
Yeah, the frequency band that goes through there.
That's right. Isn't there something else about who's managing them, who's handling them, and how they've been handled as
yes.
well as...
Yes, there's a man from Australia that Shawnee likes to buy her gold from because he's so loving and respectful of the earth, and he just has such a delightful attitude toward the gold that he takes out of the earth, and so it is really nice to find the miners who have a nice attitude, but it's not always possible.
So if you're doing a layout, you were talking about it, moving it up your arm, you said up your hand and up your arm, right?
Yeah, that's just to feel how the stones are going to work together.
So I just wondered if you can check to make sure that there's no... I mean, I guess what I thought when we were talking the other day is that if somebody is really a difficult person and they can actually put that in the stone, right?
Yes, stones can pick up pretty negative energies, but you can clean them.
Okay.
And Shawnee has her new gemstone guide is out now, and in it lists most of the stones that we use, and it also gives the healing and cleaning technique for the stone.
Okay.
And then in the class, the level one class, we go into how you can calm a stone down if it's too strong. Or let's say you have a piece of jewelry, and you love this jewelry, but it's got Aunt Mary's energy in it, or it's got too strong of an energy,
mm-hmm.
and it makes you feel a little dizzy every time you wear it. There are ways to take out that excess energy.
Okay. Now, so let's talk about some layouts that you've done and what's happened with people, and how did you get to the point where you could actually confidently do that?
Well, I was teaching a level 3 class. The interesting thing about this person was she didn't really tell me what she wanted before coming to the class. And she came back on Sunday kind of disappointed, and she said, you know, I really came here for physical healing, and it seems like all the layouts in this class are for spiritual evolvement and meditation. And the level 3 class is specifically to raise your vibration for the new earth. And so I said, well, you know, if you want to leave now, I'll give you your money back. You know, I want you to get what you want here. Yeah, I think I'll stay. I said, well, what do you want a healing with? And then she shows me her hands, which I don't know how I had missed seeing them up until then. She must, you know, keep them behind her back. But they look like both her hands and feet had been dipped in ink, purple ink. They were so purple, and she had Raynaud syndrome, which I was a little familiar with, but I'd never seen anything that severe.
What is Raynaud syndrome?
It's a circulation problem where the blood doesn't get to the hands and feet very well. And she hadn't responded to any of the medications. So I said, well, make it your intention that you get healed today. So about halfway through the day, there was a particular layout. I think it was one for balancing nature. And 10 minutes in that layout, and she got off the table, and her hands and feet were pink. But she stood there dumbfounded. I mean, she'd had them purple for 17 years.
Wow.
And she just kept staring at them, thinking that they were going to turn purple any moment.
So tell me this. Do you think that it works, the layout works on a person's body with a person's own blocked energy and natural potent force of energy and the energy of the gems? How would you say it works?
Well, the gemstones absorb the cosmic energy that gives us life.
Right.
And Shani doesn't give a name to it. She just calls it like a rain. But this cosmic force is constantly raining down upon us. And depending upon the stone's molecular composition, whether it has metallic or metals in it, whether what color it is and where it is on the earth, and its hardness and so on, it will take in different qualities of this energy. And they're like little stores, accumulators of this.
Little battery cells.
Yeah, exactly, of this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one has its own specific, unique energy. But when you get two of them together, you don't just get two energies. You now get three because you've got the individual energies and you've got the combined energies of the two working in conjunction with each other.
Mm.
And then you start adding 4, you know, 12 stones, and it gets very complex. But these layouts were all created by these interdimensional extraterrestrials for us humans to help us make this shift at this time.
Mm.
Both to heal our physical bodies because we're going through a lot of changes, and also to lift our consciousness.
What can people do? Can you tell people what? Also, it keeps occurring to me that the lineup on the body probably works quite a bit with a person's energy body and their chakras, right?
Yes, a lot of the layouts are placed on the chakras, a lot of the stones in the layouts. There are also layouts, though, for the earth. Like I mentioned, the Heavenly Gate one,
mm-hmm.
There's also layouts to clean fields of toxic chemicals and pesticides. There are layouts to open up portals to help the ley lines stabilize in what Shani calls the 6-point systems. In fact, I have that layout on my website that people can download. Oh. It's freely available.
And what's your website? Is whitetimegem.com?
Yes.
That's white, as in the color, time, as in the time that's not going to be anymore. And gem.com.
Yes.
And so they can see the layout right there, eh?
Mm-hmm. I have some sample layouts, too, for their body. One is for stress and burnout. I also have on my website a link for them to get a PDF copy of Shani's updates on what's happening with the Earth.
Mm.
And our progress toward the new earth, as well as the meditation that she's asked us to do called the Kit.
Oh, goody. And I just wanted to ask you, do you have stones, or where do people get the stones, and what would you say is a basic, talk about kit, a basic kit of a beginner having stones to do layout?
Oh, my gosh.
Or is that not a good idea because you need a teacher?
Yeah. Well, the basic stones are the ones that are pretty available at gem stores, crystal shops.
Mm-hmm.
Things like rose quartz, amethyst, hematite. We use carnelian a lot, citrine, amber, amazonite, blue lace agate. In fact, the combination blue lace agate and amazonite are the stones that help protect the immune system.
Hmm.
And then if a person has gotten ill, or if they're fighting off a cold or something, they can add rose quartz and black onyx, and that will add an additional energy that will help heal anything that they currently have.
Hmm.
You know, and it's interesting because the rose quartz and the black onyx, it adds the color orange.
Hmm. it creates the orange when you put them together?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So a lot of the gemstone healing, it's using colors, you know, to heal with.
Hmm. So now, do you have some for sale?
I have over 80 stone, different types of stones that I sell, and I'm in the process of getting them available for people to, you know, email me a list, and then I'll send it to them.
I like the idea of that because you know them and you're... TLC for stones is really there vibrationally. I'd like to be able to get them from you. Actually.
Yes, I have nice stones. I must admit, I'm pretty picky.
Well, you know what they feel like too, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And I have people now from Europe that are ordering them.
Great.
So it's time I got it together.
Well, I just like the idea of being able to trust who my salesperson is. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, you were going to do, we're running short of time already, but you were going to do a little bit of a meditation, and I'd also like you to tell people if you're doing any workshops.
I am planning a workshop at the end of this month, mm-hmm. and I would suggest they go to my website for information about what's covered in it. It's going to be a level 2 class, but it's not a requirement that you take level 1 before you take level 2.
Oh, okay.
They can be taken in any order, because each one of them actually has a whole different subject to them.
And does it include white time healing?
It includes the golden movement.
Okay.
And it doesn't include the hands-on white time healing.
The golden movement, for people who don't know, is a way of creating, sort of making symbols and designs either in the air in a large way or on your paper in a little way, right?
Yeah, it looks a little like Qigong, but it brings in that cosmic energy that charges up the stones.
Yeah, it's very powerful, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
In fact, that's the best way to clean stones is to do the golden movement number 1, and then you lay your hands on the stones to charge and clean them.
Oh, excellent.
I would also like to suggest to people, if they have gemstones, don't store them all touching each other, because they'll blend their energies and they won't be so useful for specific purposes anymore.
So would we wrap them in a little piece of cloth? Or
In red cloth.
In red cloth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the red will keep their energy separate.
Oh, interesting.
They could also place them on a mirror. Most stones like to be on a mirror, and the ones who don't care for it will tolerate it. But it'll keep their energy separate.
But they'll tell you that they don't like it, or you'll know.
They can.
If you hear a lot of noise in the middle of the night, it's your stones all acting up.
They're pretty accommodating. You know, most of them are.
Well, I guess they're not as panicky as we are sometimes.
One thing I would suggest to people, and that is not to wear crystals, you know, quartz crystals.
Okay.
Shani talks about this, how so many who are interested in spiritual awareness like to wear quartz crystals. But she said, you know, the ETs use them to power their ships. And if you wear one long enough, it will drill a hole in your bone.
Ew.
So she said, especially don't ever wear one facing up towards your head.
Hmm.
She said, they're very powerful healers, and you need to know what you're doing.
So you can use it and then take it off.
Hmm. Yeah, she doesn't even suggest wearing them, and never to have one above your head.
Hmm.
So all those beautiful crystal pointed earrings.
Oh, dear. We'll have to think about that. Do we still have time to do a little bit of a meditation?
How much time do we have?
We have, say, 8 minutes.
Oh, that's not very long. Well, you know what I could do is the very first part of the kit meditation.
Okay.
And the second part and some of the part four, I believe it is, it uses a rose quartz, an amethyst, and a hematite, and a candle. So if a person wants to do this meditation, I highly recommend they go to my website and get the PDF file for it. And share it freely. This meditation is making a big difference in raising the frequency of the planet.
Yay.
And we want to get as many people as possible doing it. In fact, you can get groups of people to do it together. It's all the better.
Wonderful.
And then have one person read it as the other people do it. Okay, so this is basically kind of an introduction to the kit.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So let's take some deep breaths. And this is best done with a candle lit in front of you, so just visualize a candle.
We have that.
And sit down. Think of yourself as a human sitting on the earth that has a vibration within its core, within its soil, and within you. Feel the quality and energy of that vibration. Within your mind, now reach out in the universe. And if your eyes aren't closed yet, close your eyes now. Imagine yourself traveling out in the universe in our blue creation. And ask inside of yourself to truly connect with the frequency of World 2. It doesn't matter if you see a planet or if you don't. It doesn't matter if you connect with a special part of World 2 or not. Just try to feel the energy, the frequency, and the vibration that exists in World 2. Now try with your own words to find words to say within yourself repeatedly a few times that means that you want to connect with the vibration. And ask to be a channel for that vibration. And take it down to your crown chakra. Then very slowly push the frequency and the vibration downwards to the heart chakra. And let it rest there for a moment. Now let it turn clockwise a whole rotation very slowly in the heart chakra. Now slowly push it down, and when it gets to your solar plexus, let one part go down into your right leg, and let one part go down into the left leg. And let the energy go down within the ground around your feet. See rings occurring around both of your feet, vibrating out that frequency and spreading out from where you are. Leaving your house or wherever you are at this moment, reaching out further and further. Like ripples in a pond. Okay. Take a deep breath and come back. And that's the end of part one.
It was lovely. I felt like I was melting into everything.
Yes. The next parts are really amazing. They connect with the source and with the core of the universe and of our creation and bring that down into the earth.
So if we come to a workshop of yours to take us through the whole thing?
I could.
And is that on the website as the whole?
Yes, the whole kit meditation is on the website. There's also an update, an addition, a meditation to do after you do the kit.
Okay.
So it's good to have a little bit of time between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a group of people who want to get together to do it, you might leave like a week between the two meditations to let the first one fully integrate.
That's wonderful. I've really enjoyed this. I feel like we just got going, and now I want to sit down and do all the layouts with you. So.
Oh, they're so fun. You know, I've been doing the meditation for many years, and when I was taking the Level 3 White Time class, it was the first time we had a gemstone layout.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were done, I said, Shani, this is profound. Why haven't you told us about this? And she just grinned. And I said, do you have any more layouts? And she said, hundreds.
That's great. Is she in town at all?
She's back in Sweden. She went to the gem show, but I missed it this year, alas.
Well, it's www.whitetimegem.com, and that's how to get hold of Kitty Marachi, and it leads you all through the White Time as well, doesn't it?
Yes, there are links there to White Time teachers and in the United States and Europe.
Thank you so much, Kitty. I've really enjoyed this, and I have to tell you that I feel like I've been on a really deep meditation right now.
Well, this kit meditation came from out there.
Great. Well,
thank you so much, Veronica.
Thank you. Well, I hope you'll come back again.
I'd love to.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was our paradigm shifter, and talk about shifting paradigms. That was a wonderful shift into, did you feel it, Bob? Yeah, a wonderful vibrational shift for the sake of planet Earth. And are we going to move to the new world? It sounds like we are. The shift is taking on so many definitions and changes, isn't it? And it's all about moving your frequency. I will see you on Thursday night, where I'm with Jackie Salvitti and her ET healing and exploration of consciousness. And I'll be talking to her team about what's going on out there. Maybe I'm going to ask them about the way Shani is talking about the new Earth. I know they have their point of view as well. So, and I don't really know who my guest is next week. Isn't that appalling? But that means that we're going to have a surprise. It's going to be wonderful. And as I said, the woman or the channel beings called Theo that I said we're going to be on this week, we had a clash of schedules. So I'm going to have them on again at the end of the month or just in the beginning of March. We haven't settled on the exact time. So that's up and coming. If you'd like to be on my little mailer, which goes out once a week and tells you who's coming up, it's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And also, if you'd like a session with me, please send me an email, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, or phone me at 510-595-5564. I really enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you so much for those who called into Radiance by Design. It was a really good show, and it had a nice broad spectrum of situations that help us to increase our radiance. And, of course, we got some really good facts from Kitty Marachi. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, let's take some love. Let's call in some of the universal frequencies, those higher frequencies that are moving faster and faster. Call them in. Run them through our body, mind, and with blessings in our intentions, send them all out to one another and all around the world. We'll see you next week. Much love.